Thank you, Pastor Dan. Hello, Rhema. It's great to be with you and to share this time together. And it's our privilege. We're excited to be here. And we didn't really expect for Wyoming to be this hot. How many know the Bible talks about a place that's hotter than this and we're not going there? Amen. So, praise God. So just to give you a little background, we are from Canada, though I'm a naturalized Canadian. I was born in England. My wife was born in British Columbia, Canada. And we've been married 47 years this year. So we have four girls, four daughters, and they are all worship leaders in their church. Two of them having put out CDs, worship CDs, and our youngest daughter getting ready to do her first. And so all of our kids are serving the Lord and leading the body of Christ in worship. Incidentally, that was great worship. Aaron and Julia, thank you. And let me see who else was on the worship team. I remember it was Jordan, and it was Joshua, and it was Josiah. Right? Got it. Okay. Okay. Great job, guys. That was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Love to worship God. Our whole family loves to worship the Lord. And I trust that as we get into the Word tonight, that it will be a blessing to you. We are looking, going to look at Jeremiah 32 as the basis for our looking into the Word tonight. So far as giftings go, I'm primarily a teacher in the body of Christ, do a lot of teaching. We travel a lot. Just to give you, while you're looking that up, just to give you a little a background, my wife and I travel around. We have pastored, and we also travel. And we do several things. We go into churches that have blown apart and do recovery. We also do a lot of workshops and seminars on leadership development and worship, and because we're both musicians, all that kind of stuff, grief and loss, Holy Spirit, whatever. We do a lot of teaching in that area. And then we do short-term missions, and just got back from Peru a couple of weeks ago, and we'll be doing some pastors' conferences and church ministry in Iceland in September, and Sierra Leone, West Africa in October, and Cuba in November. The Lord has us moving around as well as doing some local stuff. And so we do that. And then the fourth thing we do is to do what we're doing right now. And that is when people go, like Pastor Steve goes on sabbatical, we do fill-in ministry. Or we do weekend ministry, or other pastors go on vacation, or we just go in and do weekend sessions on leadership and all kinds of stuff. So the Lord keeps us busy, we are really, really seriously glad to be in Wyoming. I'm going to use this little deal here to just put my Bible on so that I got lots of room on the podium here. Okay, now we're going to read from Jeremiah 32. I don't have the time to read the whole story because it's a long chapter. So what I'm going to do is to give you a little bit of background on the chapter here, and then we're going to start in down around verse 16 and 17. So let me give you a little background on what's happened here. Jeremiah is in prison. And what has happened is Jerusalem is under siege. Because they're under siege, the nation of Israel hasn't done too well doing what the Lord wants them to do, and they've run into all kinds of trouble. I don't know about you, but I have found that I run into a whole lot of trouble when I don't do what God wants me to do. Not about you, but I think that is that way. Anyway, as a result of that, the city is under siege, and people are exiting. They're being taken into captivity. But Jeremiah, in the middle of all this siege and all this trouble and difficulty that's going on, he says, you know what? I got faith that God is going to restore. And God is going to, we're going to ride through this, these current events of difficulty. And as proof of that, I'm going to buy a plot of land because I believe that God's going to restore everything to us. And so as a result of that, by faith, he does that. He buys actually a plot of his uncle as land, and he says, this is where I'm sticking with it because I know that in the final analysis, God comes through. God is faithful, and God will do what he said he will do. And he's good as God is as good as word. Do you believe that? God is as good as his word. Amen? We believe that. We stand on that. And so Jeremiah says, I'm going to buy this piece of property because I believe that God is going to restore us again. So that's sort of the background. But in the meantime, in the current events that are taking place, they're under siege. They're trying to ride through all this. And God has made some promises here. And I want you to see that no matter what it is that you may be going through in your life, in your family, in your work, whatever you go through as a church corporately, you need to understand that God is still in control, that God is still on the throne, that God is still sovereign, that God will bring forth his purposes to bear in our lives and in our church if we will stand strong and believe him rather than just looking at the circumstances. Amen? Praise God. So, let's take a moment here. Father, thank you for what you're going to teach us today. Let your word sink deep into our spirit. I ask, Lord, that you will come and just minister your grace to us. We honor you and your presence, Holy Spirit, here right now to touch us and change us in your presence. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness to us, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Okay, so looking now down at verse 17 of Jeremiah 32, here's what we read. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. You show loving kindness to thousands and repay the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts. You are great in counsel and mighty in work, for your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You have set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt to this day, in Israel and some and among other men, and you have made yourself a name as it is in this day. You have brought your people, Israel, out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders, with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terror. You have given them this land of which you swore to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and took possession of it, but they have not obeyed your voice or walked in your law. They have done nothing of all that you commanded them to do. Therefore, you have caused this calamity to come upon them. Look, the siege mounds. They have come to the city to take it, and the city has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans, who fight against it because of the sword and famine and pestilence. What you have spoken has happened. There you see it. And you have said to me, O Lord God, buy the field for money and take the witness, yet the city has been given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me? The natural answer to that, of course, is no. So, here's a couple of statements before we get into the word, okay? Riding the tide of current events into the will of God. See, God doesn't want you to get out of his will. He wants you to ride the tide by faith and keep in his perfect will. Do you believe that? I believe that's what God wants for you and for the church. So we all know that there are problems in life, problems in family, problems at work, or the church are real. They're real problems. And, you know, some people like to ignore problems. But we need to recognize that because we have faith in God and a God who cares for us, we don't have to skirt around problems. We can face and overcome problems. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. See, so you have different ways of looking. There's a couple of ways of looking at problems. If you look at the problems and you think God is out here or way out there, and you're looking at your problems or looking at God through your problems, what you see is problems. But if you look at your problems through who the greatness of God is, your problems look pretty small in comparison to a great God who knows all about it. So we need to view whatever current events we're going through, both personally in our church, work, or family, we need to view those through the greatness and the person of who God is. Because then our problems come into a better perspective. So, the next one says this. As believers, we're called to live in a world of reality, not fantasy. Amen. How many are glad God is real? Right? God is real. So, as believers, we don't have to live in a fantasy world. We live in a world of reality where God is real, His power is real, His anointing is real, His healing is real, His deliverance is real. Hallelujah. God is real. And we live in that framework. A lot of people live in a fantasy world, but we are called as believers to live in the reality of who God is and the purpose that He has for us. Hallelujah. All right. So the next thing I want you to see here is this. Our ability to do that, that is to live in that reality, our ability to do that is directly connected to our concept of understanding of who God is. I mean, if you think that God is small and has no power, and really doesn't connect. So, you know, some people think that God is up in heaven, sits in the big throne, has a long beard, and is short-sighted and hard of hearing. That's how some people think about God. And if that's the kind of God you believe in, you got a problem. But we don't believe in that kind of God. We believe in a God who is omnipotent, who is all-powerful, is all-knowing, and has the ability to minister to us where we are. So if we have that kind of concept, then the way we look at life will completely be different than if we believe in a God who never connects with us. And so that's why I say to you that our ability to live in the reality of life is directly connected to our concept and understanding of who God is. So the reason that I'm taking you to Jeremiah 32 tonight, in part, is because Jeremiah, in this passage, shows us what he understood and how he understood his concept of God. What did he think about God? What happens when Jeremiah starts to pray? What kind of God does he describe here that he believes in? That's what I want you to see before we get to the latter end of this message. So, here's Jeremiah's understanding. If you look at verse 17, this is the first thing that you'll find. You'll find, O Lord God, Thou art the creator of heaven and earth. He is an omnipotent creator. In Jeremiah's mind, the city may be under siege, but the God that he believes in is a God who is omnipotent, is a God who is all-powerful, and he is a creator. The scripture says in the book of Hebrews that he upholds the very planet that you're sitting on. He upholds all things by the word of his power. The very planet you're sitting on. If this was not operating as God intended, guess what? We'd all be flying off into space somewhere. But he holds the whole thing together. And holding the world together holds you together at the same time. Hallelujah. So the first concept or understanding as he begins to pray, he begins to focus on the fact that God is a creator. How many of you know if God is a creator, he is able to create something out of nothing? As a matter of fact, it says in Romans 4 that God is able to call those things which be not as though they were. He's able to call something, make something out of nothing. And you may look at your problem and say, I don't know how I can get through this. I don't know how we can get through this as a church. I don't know how we can get through this as a family. I got news for you. God is able to create situations that are far beyond your understanding that you haven't even thought of yet, because he's all powerful and he's a creator, and create a situation and bring things together in a way that you never, ever imagined. Wow. That's the kind of God that Jeremiah believed in. That's the kind of God we need to believe in as we face the realities of life and the problems of life. Here's the second thing that we see from Jeremiah. And that is, nothing is impossible for him. The Bible says, things may be impossible for man, but nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing. Nothing is impossible with God. If you look up the word, that means nothing. Nothing is nothing. Nothing is impossible with God. So when you look at situations that arise in your life and family and in the church, we look at this and say, okay, we don't understand this. You know, there are many times in the ministry that we don't understand things that take place. We just flat don't understand. People are people, and people do funny things. And people do weird things. Who was it was talking about weirdness? Was that you, Aaron? No, who was you was talking about weirdness? Yeah. He's weird? Okay. I won't go there. All right. But, you know, people are people, and they do funny things and weird things. And sometimes people do things that put us in difficult situations. But here's what we know. We may be in a difficult situation, but your God knows how to get you out of that situation. God knows how to deliver you. God knows how to bring you to a place where you come out of that stronger than when you went into the problem, simply because he's able to do the impossible. So then we have another one. And here's what we find Jeremiah continues understanding. He says, he shows, verse 18, the first part, he shows loving kindness. You know, sometimes our problems are our own making. Because some of the choices we make do not result in good things. Some people choose to get into drugs or get into alcoholism or illicit relationships or whatever. And the choices are poor. And the choices cause us our own problems. But here's the wonderful thing that you need to know, that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why is that? Why is that? Because God desires and wants to show you his loving kindness. And Jeremiah is looking at this and he's going, we're under siege, but I still believe in the loving kindness of God. You show loving kindness. Here's the next thing that he sees. That God deals righteously with sin issues. Notice the word righteously. See, some people have this concept of God that any time I do anything wrong, he's out there to just, you know, squelch me like an ant. But the fact is that God deals with us righteously. Now, the scripture that I quoted just a moment ago, listen very carefully again to it. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all, come on, all what? Unrighteousness. Does that mean he deals righteously with sin? Yes or no? Yes, it is. He deals with us righteously. So that even when we move into the framework of unrighteousness, God's arm is not too short that he can reach down to you and bring you back into the dimension of righteousness. That's the forgiveness. That's the loving kindness of God. And Jeremiah says, you know what? Israel has made a whole lot of mistakes. As a matter of fact, we read it right there. It says they came into the land in verse 23, took position, but they have not obeyed your voice or walked in your law. They have done nothing Imagine that. God has been so good to bring them into the land, but they have done nothing to obey God and walk with God. And yet God still shows his loving kindness, and God still deals with them righteously and says, I'm going to restore. Wow. Talk about the reckless love of God. Reckless love of God. Hallelujah. Here's number five. You find that it says in verse 19, the first part, that he is a great counselor. Great counselor. You know, there's a tremendous comfort in coming to the Lord in prayer. The God is able to bring comfort to us like nobody else. It's great to have the comfort of friends. Great to have the good word of friends. But there's something supernatural about the counsel and comfort that God gives to you. That brings a tremendous dimension of peace to your heart and love to your spirit and an understanding that says, in the midst of all of this, God is talking to me. God is talking to me. See, counseling has to do with talking. And God comes in the middle of your siege and will talk to you and give you counsel. How awesome is that? Huh? How awesome is that? He doesn't leave us, hang us out to dry. He says, I've got a word for you. I've got counsel for you. It's found in this book. Found in this book. No greater counsel that comes from the word of God. That's why we're always encouraging people. Don't miss out doing your devotional time. Don't miss out reading on the word. Because whatever you're going through, wherever you're at right now, the Lord has a word for you. It's found in this book. Found in this book. And he will counsel you. He's a great counselor. And see, counselors don't only give advice. They also give comfort. They also give strength. They also give uplift. See, God comes to lift you up. Amen. And you can fall flat on your face in failure. But God knows how to stand you up in the power of the Holy Spirit. To lift you up into the dimension and place that he has for you. Praise God. And so what we're gathering here is this is how Jeremiah is understanding God in the midst of a siege, in the midst of stuff that's falling apart, in the midst of problems that Israel is in. His focus is on who God is. And I want to encourage you tonight. Anytime that the enemy comes with an attack, anytime you're going through stuff, don't focus on the problem. Focus on the problem solver. Amen. The problem solver is Jesus. The problem solver is God himself, because he's the great counselor. Hallelujah. Number six, never forget that God sees what's going on. He sees what's going on. Sometimes we get into that spot and stuff is happening. It's like, God, do you know what's going on down here? You ever been in that place? God, do you really know what's going on down here? Hello, are you there? You know, but we need to understand that Jeremiah looks at this and says, God sees. God knows what's going on. And sometimes we think, well, people have hurt us. Situations have hurt us. People have done stuff against us. And we got to trust God in this. Some people like to take revenge. And the scripture reminds us that's the Lord's job. That's the Lord's job. I will repay, says the Lord. Have you ever been in that spot where you say, Lord, I know vengeance is yours, but can I help you a little bit? Can I just help you a little bit? The answer to that is no. You leave it in the hands of God. Leave it in the hands of God, because he sees what's going on. And somewhere along the line, as you read the scripture, you will find that God says, they're not going to get away with it. They're not going to get away with it. There's going to come a point where God will take care of business, repaying the iniquity of the fathers. They're going to deal with it. God's going to deal with it. It's up to us to recognize how great God is and to let him deal with it. Sometimes in our lives, the flesh creeps in and we want to deal with it. But God says, you let me deal with it, Because when I deal with it, I'll deal with it righteously. Okay, number seven. He moves in signs and wonders. If you look in verse 20, you have set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, 21. With signs and wonders and with a strong arm and outstretched hand, you brought your children out of Israel. And so he does signs and wonders. And you know, I came out of the Salvation Army. That's my background. Anybody here had any connection with the Salvation Army? Oh, wonderful. Okay, well, my parents were Salvation Army missionaries to Africa, which is where I grew up. And during that time, my brother was introduced to Pentecost, still lives in Africa. And so he took me to a Pentecostal service. And it was different. For me at that time, it was weird. Okay. But as I grew in that, began to attend several services, and because my brother is also a musician, we ended up on one occasion playing for a South African evangelist by the name of Freddie Zeeman. Freddie Zeeman was like an Oral Roberts in South Africa. He had a tent crusade all over the place. And so here we are at a place called Randfontein, which is southwest of Johannesburg, and we're in this tent. And Randfontein is a university town. And there were some people who were rattled by the fact that this evangelist was in town. And so some of the students from the university decided that they were going to prove that Freddie was a fake. Because Freddie would pray for people to be healed every night. And so three of them decided to get in the healing line, because Freddie had a healing line, just like Oral Roberts used to do, and people would line up and come by, he'd pray for them to be healed. And so they got in the line, and they weren't together. They separated themselves out so not to be obvious, and pretended to have various diseases to try and prove that Freddie was a fake. So after a while of praying for people, the first student came and stood in front of Freddie. And for the first time in my life, I saw the word of knowledge and a sign and a wonder take place. Because the young man came and stood in front of Freddie, and as he stood there, Freddie never said a word. So after about a minute, the guy's starting to get a little uncomfortable, because Freddie's not saying anything, he's just staring at him. So finally, Freddie speaks, and the word of the Lord and the word of knowledge came forth. He said, "Young man, you have a couple of friends that are with you in this line." Couldn't know that except by the Holy Spirit. And he said, "What is your problem?" He said cancer or leukemia or some one of those. And Freddie said, "I see." He said, "Well, you have a couple of friends who are with you in line, and I've got some news for you." And the young man's looking at him, and Freddie said, "You do not have the disease you say you have. But unless you either repent or get out of this tent, God will give you the disease you say you have." The blood drained from his face. I'm sitting at the piano with my brother's the organ, and I'm watching this. He literally went white. And he and his two buddies headed out of the tent as fast as they could ever go. And the place went nuts. Because God showed up and gave a word. There was a sign and a wonder that came forth. And see, it doesn't matter what we go through in life, doesn't matter what our church goes through in life, there's always the potential and possibility that as we believe God by faith, God is able to sort things out. God is able to see into the hearts of people. He's able to change the heart, or he's able to cause them to repent or whatever. But I'm here to tell you that we serve a God of signs and wonders. and signs and wonders have not ceased. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is still the God, amen, of Rhema Church. He's still the God of you. He's still the God of our family. He's still the God on our job. He's still God. Malachi 3:10, I am the Lord and I change not. Hebrews 3, 7, what is that? Hebrews 7, 13, 7. Jesus Christ the same. What? Come on. Yesterday, today, and forever. I almost forgot the address. Okay. Anyway, this is Jeremiah's understanding in the middle of a siege. But God, the very fact that I've bought this property is a sign to start with that you're going to restore. So God's with him in the middle of the siege. All right, number 8. He demonstrates his ability to deliver. You brought, with signs and wonders and with a high hand, you brought your children out of Israel. And I'm here to tell you tonight, God is able to bring you out of whatever you're in the middle of. He's able to bring you out. He's able to strengthen you. He's able to make you a better person, having come through that. How many of you have gone through difficulties and found that you came out the other side a better person? Because you learned something. You know, there are some people who go through stuff, they never learn anything. They're just as ignorant afterwards as they were before. But see, God is adding to your knowledge. God is wanting to show you that he is able to deliver you out of your circumstance and take you on to the destiny he has for you. You don't have to be stuck in your siege. You don't have to be stuck in your problem. You don't have to be stuck in your situation. And while I'm talking about being stuck in your situation, if you don't remember anything else from this message tonight, I want you to remember this, that when you get into a tough situation, don't let your situation overtake your revelation. Listen to me carefully. Don't let your situation overtake your revelation. What you have here from Jeremiah is a revelation of God. And sometimes when we get into a situation, we forget what God is like and who God is. We mustn't let our situation overtake our revelation, but allow our revelation to be greater than the situation we find ourselves in, because in the final analysis, God is the answer to your problem and to your situation. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, number 9. He keeps his promises. Are you glad for that? Hallelujah. It says in here that when he spoke your voice, that you have spoken it. What you have spoken, verse 24, what you have spoken has happened. You see, when God speaks, God doesn't just throw words out there for the sake of saying stuff. When God speaks, his word comes true. Because God is not a liar. God is not a liar. And we need to understand that the freedom, that freedom for us is the function of truth. God is spirit. We worship him in spirit and in truth, and those who know the truth shall be set free. Amen. So freedom is the function. Freedom is the function of truth. True freedom is based on truth, and Jesus is the truth. So he keeps his promises. Every word, the psalmist said, is true. Every word is true. His promises are yea and amen to every person who believes. What are you believing God for tonight in your situation? Good question. Number 10. He uses circumstances. I don't want you to miss this one. He uses circumstances as a course adjustment, not a final end. Huh? As a course adjustment, not a final end. Sometimes, I don't know whether, maybe you're not like me, but sometimes God has to hit you over the head with a 2x4 to get your attention. You ever discovered that? You know, That's to hit you over the head by a 2x4 to get your attention. Not because he's going to keep on hitting you over the head. Right? That's a course adjustment. Because God's final purpose for you is the destiny that he has for you. Right? Is to be a child of God. Is to be drawn into his presence. Is to walk with him. And the final analysis is to live with him forever. So God has a destiny for you. And the stuff that happens in your life and in your spirit, sometimes he allows things to take place in order to bring you into alignment, to make a course adjustment. And we need to recognize that the circumstances that we're in and situations that arise, these will come to pass. They will come to pass because the course adjustment that comes through those circumstances is not your final end. God's final end for you is a destiny of life forever with him. And he will bring circumstance to adjust your course and to bring you back into alignment with his purpose. And you know, let me just say this to you, because through years of pastoral ministry, I have found that people, when they get under conviction... Some people under conviction get really mad. You know, there are times when I have preached stuff, the Word of God, and someone's got under conviction, and they get real mad at you. Can I tell you this? Conviction, listen to me carefully. Conviction by the Holy Spirit is one of the most positive things that can ever happen to you. Conviction is not negative. Conviction is positive. Let me tell you why. God cares enough about you to bring conviction by the Holy Spirit so that you will adjust your life into alignment of the purposes that he has for you. He cares enough about you to bring conviction in your spirit. So when the Holy Spirit comes with conviction, it's a sign and a demonstration of the care and the love that Jesus has for you, not the fact that he's mad at you. It's the fact that he cares for you. And therefore, when we recognize that conviction is positive, we ought to welcome the conviction of the Holy Spirit with an open heart and open arms, because we understand the conviction of the Holy Spirit is a sign and a demonstration of the care and love of the Lord Jesus. Can I hear an amen on that? We need to get that down in our spirit, in our gut, and understand that. That's why in worship and in teaching, we can be open to the Holy Spirit and say, "Come, Holy Spirit, change me, challenge me, convict me, do whatever you want," because I know that that's the care of God to bring me into the purposes that you have for me. Wow. Everybody say conviction is a positive thing. Amen. I hope you believe that. Believe it. Because God will do that in your life. So, he uses circumstances as a course adjustment, not a final end. Number 11. Wow. Time is going quickly. His word is true and can be trusted. I don't need to elaborate on that. His word is true, needs to be trusted. We just need to actually believe the word. All right, the last one that Jeremiah's understanding is this: God blesses those who trust him and brings restoration and fulfillment of purpose and promise. And you'll find that in the verses there. I haven't read all the verses as we've gone along, but the scripture makes it very, very clear as you look at these verses, and especially in 42, "For thus says the Lord, just as I've brought this calamity," or brought this circumstance for adjustment on the people, "as I will, so I will bring them all the good that I have promised them." I will bring you the good that I've promised you. Okay, so if that's our understanding of God, which is absolutely immense, I mean, it's amazing. I hope you'll read this chapter again and just ponder on these things. This is Jeremiah's understanding of who God is. How many think that's a God worth serving? Amen. God worth knowing, God worth serving. So, how does this work? I'm glad you asked. I want to tell you. Okay. the foundation need to ride the tide of your current events, where you're at. Here's number one. Be believing. Have faith. Mark 11 says, have faith in God. It all begins with faith. How's your faith tonight? The scripture makes it very clear. We live by faith. We're saved by faith. Live by faith. Stand in faith. Pray in faith. And what kind of prayer? What kind of prayer is effective prayer? This is the prayer that, or the, this is the faith that, over, this is the prayer that overcomes the world, even your faith. So we saved by faith, live by faith, stand in faith, pray in faith, walk in faith, in order that we may overcome. How? By faith. Okay? So if there's something wrong with your faith, there's something wrong with your everything. So have faith, believe. In the middle of circumstances that come your way, tough stuff that's happening, believe God. Don't look at people. Don't look at the circumstances. Believe God. And you will ride the tide of those current events. The second thing is, be still. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Now here's something very interesting. Am I okay? Oh, all right. I've got just a few more minutes, right? I want to explain this to you, because if you've never heard this before, this word in this passage of Scripture says, be still and know that I am God. The word know is a Hebrew word, yada. And let me explain to you the absolute amazing dimension of this word. If you go into Genesis chapter 4, it says this. It says, Adam knew Eve. She conceived and gave birth. So the word know there has to do with intimacy. Okay? Obviously in this situation has to do with sexual intimacy that brings forth a child. So then if you go down to the 17th verse of that fourth chapter, you'll see that Cain knew his wife, same word, and she conceived and brought forth a son. Then you get down to verse 27 of that chapter. It says that Adam knew Eve again, and she conceived and brought forth. So will you notice that every time there was an intimacy, there was a conception followed by a birth. Now hear me very carefully. Be still and know, or get intimate with God. Okay? Now listen to me carefully. Be still and get intimate with God. What happens when I get intimate with God? God will conceive something new in my heart and birth something fresh in my spirit. Because every time there's an intimacy, it's followed by a conception, which is followed by a birth. And so when I begin to know God in an intimate way, God will conceive something new in my spirit and birth something fresh in my heart. That's why if you have devotions on a daily basis, do you understand that if you have an intimate time with God on a daily basis, that you have the potential every single day of allowing God to conceive something new in your heart and birth something fresh in your spirit? Come on. Come on. So in the middle of the foundation, in the middle of riding the tide of your current events, remember, be still and know that I am God. Because when you know God, guess what? You'll be at peace, just like Jeremiah was. Lord, I'm at peace. I know you're going to restore this place. We may be under siege now. We may be in a problem now. We may be in a lousy situation now. But God, I believe you, and I am at peace. Here's the third one. Be strong and have courage. When Joshua was facing going into the land, he said, you be strong and very courageous. Because as you are strong and courageous, I will be with you. You can be strong in the midst of your siege. You can be strong in the midst of your problem. You can be strong in the midst of your circumstance. Why? God is with you. Hallelujah. And he will never forsake you. Number four. Wow, be expectant. Expect deliverance. If God is who he says he is, as we saw from Jeremiah, then why would we not expect that God would take care of business? Why would we not have an expectant heart to say, this too shall pass. God is with me. I'm on my way through, and I'm on my way out. It's like somebody once said, if you're going through hell, don't stop there. Keep cooking. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1:10 says, God has delivered, God does deliver, and he will yet deliver. Hallelujah. All right. We'll take the last little part here. How faith works. Remember, faith fails when your focus falters. So if you're looking anywhere else, faith is not going to work. But if you have your faith in God, it won't fail you. You know why? Because God never fails. But faith will fail you if you're not looking to God. You can have faith in all kinds of stuff, but it doesn't work unless you have faith in God. So how does it work? Here it is. Total dependency on God. Secondly, total objectivity. What do I mean by that? Same as when we started, reality, facing the reality, being objective about it to recognize, yes, I'm not going to ignore it. The problem is there, but my God is greater than the problem. So I'm objective about this deal, no matter what I'm going through. Number three, total availability. Making yourself totally available to God so that he can work in your life and work in your circumstance to bring forth the result that he wants to bring forth. So here, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for what? Good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will. Everybody say, I will. I will. I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will. Everybody say, will. You will find me, and I will be found by you, says the Lord. Wow. In the midst of your siege, in the midst of your circumstance, in the midst of your current events, God's plan for you still hasn't changed. He still has good future for you. You still have a hope in him. So here's what I want to say to you in closing. The final key is this: letting all I am be available to all that he is. Amen. Allowing myself to be available to all that he is. So I don't know what kind of current events are happening in your life, your family, your work. The current events that may or may not be happening in the church. I want you to know we have a great God. I want you to know that God is for you. I want you to know that God has a future for you regardless of where you are at in your current events right now. And that to come through the other side, just let yourself be available to all that he is. Because when all that he is becomes part of all that you are, there is no way that you can fail. There is no way that you can miss the mark. There's no way that you can miss your destiny, because you can ride the tide of current events right into the will of God. Right into the will of God. Because God has your number. And can I say this to you in closing? God's got you covered on every side. Can I prove it to you by quoting these scriptures or referring to these scriptures? He says this. He says, underneath are the everlasting arms. He says, I will cover you with my feathers. He says, I will surround you with songs of deliverance. So if underneath are the everlasting arms, and he has covered you with his feathers, and he surrounded you with songs of deliverance, how many of you know God's got you covered? God's got you covered. And so I want you to take hope tonight. I want you to be strong in faith and say, Lord, no matter what's happening in my life, no matter what's happening with people or stuff in the church, This I know. God is for me. God is for us collectively and corporately. And God will triumph in our circumstance and in our event because he is for us. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you tonight because you are so faithful. I thank you, God, that there is nothing, just as Jeremiah reminds us, there's absolutely nothing too hard for you. And tonight, God, I pray that for any person who is going through a tide of current events that is tearing them apart on the inside, that tonight they will come to believe, to have faith, and come to a place of intimacy and peace in knowing you. That hope is not lost because you have declared that for every one of us and for the church together, we have a future and we have a hope. And Father, tonight our hope is in you because we know that we know that we know that we know that the word of the Lord is sure. Thank you for that, Lord. Touch our hearts and minister your grace to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Wow. That was a powerful time. Amen. How many of us have been blessed tonight? Can we just celebrate the man of God? Just celebrate the man of God. Thank you so much, Pastor Colin. Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, another thing, if you want to be prayed for by Pastor Colin, he's going to be here after the service to just minister to you and pray over you. So if it's a personal current event or situation or circumstance, and you want him to pray with you, to agree with you in prayer, he's going to be here after the service to pray with you. I am humbled and thankful to God for the man of God coming to minister to us again. And I'm going to say this confidently, he's coming back again. Amen. Amen. He's definitely going to come again because we have been ministered to. I want us to do our devotion and then we will, our benediction, and then we'll go. We have another service here on Sundays. We are planning on slowly transitioning back to the Sunday services, God willing, from next month. And so tomorrow we'll still have a service at 10:30 in the morning. If you have time, or if somebody that didn't show up today, you just tell them, go to the church and you will be ministered to. Praise the Lord. So I want you to stand up on your two feet and we're going to do our benediction and then go home. Amen. Tomorrow we have our outreach in the community. We visit this community and my hope and prayer is that you show up there because we are going to just love on people. We are going to barbecue and be able to feed people there and also minister and pray over people and just be of love to them. Again, our goal as a church is not so we can win these people to our church, but so we can win these people to the kingdom of God. So wherever they will go after that, you ask them as you're praying over them or as you're talking to them, you tell them, find a church where they are preaching the gospel of Jesus. And if God allows you to come to our church, great. But if not, find somewhere where they are teaching the word of God and be a part of a fellowship, be a part of a community. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks. We speak a blessing over each and every one of us that's here today. The Lord Jesus Christ, you continue releasing us to the next level and dimension in the mighty name of Jesus. We love you, Father, and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. May God bless you. We have a meal outside there to share. So tomorrow at 3 p.m. at the park, Lincoln Park. But tonight there's a meal right outside in the foyer. God bless you.
God of creation, there at the start before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, I haunt you, baby.